Well, what's up, Shoreline? We are back continuing our series that we've been talking about how to win at high school. So if you got your Bibles, you got your journals, go ahead and grab those. And we're going to be continuing our series where we've been talking about how to live an effective life as a high schooler. Because can we admit it is hard being a high schooler? And so we're going to be talking about how from God's word we can learn how to live an effective life as a high schooler. Before we do that, I guys want to introduce you to myself because I haven't been up here a ton. And so I want to show you a picture of just my family. Here's me. There's me and my wife, Kirby, and me. And there's my son, Harvey Shepherd Mankin. He's amazing. He just learned how to throw things, so pray for us. But that's my wife. And one thing about my wife is that she's really into healthy living and nutrition. And there's this one thing that she's really, really adamant about that she loves. And she just experienced it. It's called an infrared sauna. Has anyone ever heard of this? An infrared sauna, it's this new fitness trend that everyone's doing. And she just experienced this thing. She went to it and she came back and she started to explain to me how amazing this thing was. And so she explained, hey, if you go to this thing, it's basically like sitting in this box. And that's what it looks like. Like, that's what it looks like. You sit in this thing and it heats up your body. And basically, it's supposed to detox your body, burn a bunch of calories, make you feel amazing. And so I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And so she signs me up and I go, I walk into this room and I imagine me, 6'6", sitting in something like that. That's like me trying to sit in my son's car seat. It's just not gonna work. And I get in this thing and you're supposed to stay for 30 minutes and it gets hot. Basically, it makes you feel like you're getting close to the surface of the sun. And I was just miserable the whole time. Like, I hated it, and I wanted out. I lasted about 15 minutes. I got out. I immediately left, and it really just did nothing for me. You can take that picture down. What it really did is just do nothing for me. It promised all these benefits and then just did absolutely nothing for me. What it was a waste of time and a waste of money. And so the reason I tell that story to you guys is because I really think, man, that is a lot. The way we do that, the way we see that, man, we spend a lot of our time doing things that really just do nothing for us. We spend a lot of time doing things that really just do nothing for us because we're distracted. If we're honest, we're distracted. Distracted to things that aren't necessarily bad, but aren't really good for our lives. So we are going to be talking about how to win against distractions. If you're taking notes, we're talking about how to win at distraction. And so before we get in, I'm gonna define distraction for us. And distraction is basically a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. A thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. Because right now in 2020, there is an attack on your attention. Like, they're the most successful companies right now, Apple, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all of these companies have hundreds and millions of dollars trying to do one thing, capture our attention, because our attention is valuable and we're distracted. Like, I don't know about you, but I walk into a room and like at my house, I've walked into a room and I can immediately forget why I walked into that room. Like, has anyone done that before? It's because we're distracted. Studies show that we literally have an attention span of 8 seconds, which is less than a goldfish. That means we're losing to goldfish. Like, we're losing to goldfish. Like, we are distracted and there's an attack on our attention. So I want to talk to you guys about how we can keep our attention on the one thing that matters. And so in the spirit of that, I want everyone, we're going to do a little activity. I want everyone to hold out their phones. Pick out your phone. I know you got a phone. Hold it in the air. And what we're going to do, we're going to put it in airplane mode. We're going to put it in airplane mode because the one thing that will compete for your attention the most is this mobile device. Don't worry. The life will go on without you. It's only going to be 20 minutes. But that thing, that device will distract you. John Mark Comer says, today we are more likely to run into the devil in the form of a notification on our phone. The form of a notification on our phone. And the enemy is trying to destroy us with distraction. So today's message isn't like, hey, cancel your phone, get rid of that thing. It's bad. But it's basically just, I want to describe to you and encourage you how we can consider what distraction is doing to us. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews. So it's in the New Testament, it's right before the book of James. And the New Testament in this book, the book of Hebrews, the author is basically writing to a group of people, this Jewish people, who are distracted. They are distracted. And they're being tempted to give up on their faith and to go back and go against their faith. And so what the author is trying to do is encourage them and give this like epic locker room speech. It'd be like, hey, continue the race. Jesus is worth it. Keep fighting. And so he's going to encourage them. And we need to hear this message today. So I'm going to read three verses. We're going to be in three verses. It's Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. And we're going to focus on how this teaches us how we can live not a distracted life and give our attention to the one thing that matters. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So the first thing we're going to see in that first verse, it's going to show us the danger of distraction. If you're taking notes, he goes in and says, here is the danger of distraction. He says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. Notice he says weight and sin. It's what the author is implying, that there is a difference between a weight and sin in our life. A weight is a modern day distraction. It's not necessarily bad, but it can be bad for you if it becomes a weight, if it slows you down, if it keeps you back, if it hinders you in your relationship with the Lord, your ability to run after the Lord. A weight can be bad. And I could go in and talk about all the different distractions in our life and the weights that we occur in our life, but I think really the one I want to focus on is the most important distraction that I think really affects our relationship with the Lord, and it's our phone. It's our phone. I read the other day that we touch our phone 2,617 times a day. That's crazy. That means over 2,000 times a day, you are being tempted to not think about God. You're being tempted to not think about God. There's never been more new ways in the history of the world to distract you from thinking about God. And you've probably already experienced this by now, but there's something called phantom vibration syndrome. That means that your brain can make you think that you got a text message when you really didn't, and you look down at your phone and you hallucinate. And that's because, man, we've been so connected with our phone. We've been so distracted with our phone. And so I want to talk about how we can tackle this. And social media and technology, they're not necessarily bad things. Like, technology can connect us with so many people all over the world. With a click of a button, we can share the gospel with thousands of people. It's an amazing tool. But quickly, social media, man, it can make us antisocial, right? It can start to disconnect us from the world. We can struggle with comparison and isolation and anxiety. And so we need to learn how to battle this. And he goes on, he says, lay aside every weight, distraction in your life, which clings so closely. And so the imagery here is basically being surrounded. And so recently, I heard a story. I was talking to my friend James Willingham. Is he in here? Raise your hand. Is it JJ Pierce Group? He's not in here. But I just got off the phone with him talking about a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me about the craziest story I've literally heard in my life. So he's leaving work one day, and it's late at night, and he's walking to his car, and he sits in his car, and he hears a sound in the back of his car. And as he turns and looks in the back of a car, his car, there is a stranger sitting in the back of his seat. Like, this is the top, number one, probably scariest things that could ever happen to me. It's like there's someone sitting in the back of his seat. And what does he do? He screams at the top of his lungs. He gets up and he sprints all the way inside. And he locks the door and he calls 911. Come to find out, it was a homeless person that was asleep in his car. And he screams and he runs. But that's what the author is saying right here, is that there's distractions in our life that are just as dangerous as a stranger in our car. They cling closely. And our goal is not to linger in it, in the car with it, to let it just sit there or try to ignore it and keep driving. The goal here is that we lay it aside. We identify it, we recognize it, and we lay it aside. And so the greatest question you guys can ask when thinking about distraction in your life is this question. I want you to write this question down. It's the greatest question you can ask when trying to recognize if this is a distraction in your life. Does this slow me down from following Jesus? Does this slow me down from following Jesus? Not, hey, is this sin in my life? Is this relationship sin in my life? Is this show sin in my life? The greatest question you can ask to identify a distraction is this slowing me down? Because anything that is distracting us from Jesus is slowing us down. And so the author then goes on to say in verse 2, he describes where we should now put our attention. Once we recognize that there is distraction that clings closely, sometimes distraction we don't even know is a distraction. It can turn into an addiction if we don't identify and recognize it early. He goes on and tells us where to aim our attention. And so this is point 2. If you're taking notes, he says in verse 2, the aim of our attention. The aim of our attention. He says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And so here is the solution, right here, to all our distraction. He says, the solution is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And I know that can sound motivational, like it belongs on a bumper sticker, but what he's saying is true. Giving Jesus your full attention, bringing him to the front of your thoughts and giving him your full attention is what he's telling us to do. In 2020, it is so easy to give a lot of things our attention. COVID, news, media, relationships, friendships, our reputation, whatever it is, it's so easy to pay attention to so many different things. And what he's saying, hey, you gotta pay attention to one thing. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, here's what it means. In simple form, here's what it means. It means when you wake up every day, you understand that God, a perfect and holy, loving God, has chosen to pay attention to you, has chosen to focus on you. And he's chosen to get our attention by sending us his son that we could live forever. That means that we should put that story in front of our mind and understand that. And I think, man, it can be easy to forget that story. It can be easy to be distracted. But it goes on to say that Jesus endured the cross with great joy. That means Jesus hates your sin more than you do. And not only that, he considered it joy to go to the cross and he wants to help us with our sin. He sees it as a joy to help us, to walk alongside us, the things that keep us up at night, the things that wear us down. He wants to help us with those things. And we have to identify the distraction. And I think it can be easy to hear a verse like this or hear someone say, hey, fix your eyes on Jesus. And you kind of approach that with a fail mentality because you're like, hey, I've tried that before. It didn't work. I've tried to fix my eyes on Jesus. I'm running this race and I'm just running out of energy. And I've tried to fix my eyes on Jesus and I keep failing. I keep trying to get rid of this, you know, lust thing and it just doesn't work out. I keep trying to get rid of this anxiety thing or this fear thing and I keep failing. And the reason that we fail is because we fix our eyes and trying to fix ourselves. We focus on ourselves and we try to change ourself, and here's what the author is saying. Change your attention. Focus on the one thing that can actually change you, not yourself. You can't try harder. Jesus is the only one that you can change us. And we give him our attention, he will change us. And so our attention is really, as I said, one of the most valuable things we can give somebody. We can give somebody else, but also to God. And I've recognized there's really two things that compete for our attention, two really big questions that we ask ourselves when we're struggling with distraction. The first question we ask ourselves is what's better. If you're taking notes, the first question we ask ourselves is what's better. What I mean by that, when you're reading God's word, it can be so easy to go between God's word and your phone or between praying and your phone. And you easily get distracted by that notification on your phone. And what you're communicating in that moment, hey, is this. Like, hey, there's something better for me. Like maybe that Jesus isn't worth my time. There's something better for me. So you look for something better. Maybe you're with a friend and you're talking with a friend and then you immediately start looking down at your phone and texting and you can't pay attention to them. And what you're communicating is saying, hey, there's something better worth my time. There's something better, there's a better use of my time than looking and paying attention to you. And so we look for what's better. What's better? And it distracts us. The next question we ask ourselves is, what's next? This one is hard for me. We ask ourselves what's next because we live in a fast-paced world. We always want to look towards what's next. What's the next thing we can do? And so what do? We pray quickly. We read our Bible really quickly because we want to get to the next thing, the next event, the next thing we can post on social media, the next person we can talk to. And what do? We go towards what's next and we miss out what God wants to teach us right now. Because he wants us to teach us something. He wants to teach us something every day when we're fully present with him. We can easily miss out on what's now. And so when you ask yourself these questions, what happens is the noise of distraction starts to set in your life. And distractions get louder and louder and louder. And so something at my house that is basically spread out all throughout the house is these two items. It's a picture right here, as you can see. Does anyone know what these two items are? Sound machines. Someone thought they were actually essential oils. They're not diffusers. They're sound machines in my house. I have four of them, and they are spread out all throughout our house. And what these sound machines do is whenever we're sleeping, they produce the coolest thing ever. It's called white noise. And basically, you turn this thing up. Does anyone sleep with a fan? Everyone sleeps with a fan, right? Because that noise gets so loud that it drowns out every other noise in the house. Like last night, there was a bunch of dogs barking in our neighbor's yard, and I just turned this thing on loud, and it drowned out all the noise. And that is what distraction really does. That's a good example of what distraction does. It drowns out all the noise in our life. It keeps out all the noise in our life, and what it ends up doing is it drowns out the voice of God. And it makes us hard. It makes it hard to pay attention to what God has to teach us in his word. And so we get distracted. The noise of activity and the noise of school and the noise of homework gets really, really loud. And we lose our motivation to spend time with God. That noise gets louder and louder and louder. And we lose our ability to focus on the one thing that matters. Psalm 46:10 says, be still. Be still. Meaning cease striving, stop, reflect, listen, be still. And the most amazing thing is that we will know that he is God. We'll know, we'll understand who God is when we stop and we're still. And we're still and we're silent. We go to God and we can understand him when we go and be still before him. And the most amazing thing about God's word, when we go with our attention, what we get is direction for our lives. Psalms 119:10 says, your word is a lamp into my feet, a light into my path. Meaning, when we go to God's word, we get direction. We get direction for our life. And here's what's hard. It's really hard to get direction when you're distracted, right? The best way to get direction is by listening to what's being said. And so when you go to God's word, you have to be still. You have to pay attention. You have to stop. You can't ask yourself what's better. You can't ask yourself what's next. And you have to focus. And here's the most amazing thing. If you hear anything from this message tonight, I want you to hear this thing. That God wants to spend time with you. That's crazy. That God wants to spend time with you. You don't have to convince him. He wants to spend time with you. When you go to God, you're going to somebody who's never once had an anxious thought. Who's never once considered, hey, what's next? Who's never once been fearful? And when you spend time with him, man, his character begins to rub off on us. And we begin to look like him because we've been looking at him. And so distraction is a big part of my story. And that's why I wanted to share this, guys, share this with you. I'm not immune to it. It's something that I've faced every day of my life. But more importantly, man, I faced it back in college, my senior year of college, I suffered with distraction to a point where it hurt me. It damaged me. It hurt my relationship with the Lord. Man, I was involved in so many church activities. I was involved in FCA and all these other things, and I was serving the Lord. But when I got home from doing all those things, I had some anxiety in my heart that I never dealt with. And whenever that anxiety came up in my life, what I would do is I would just go to my phone because I didn't want to deal with that anxiety and that fear in my life. I would just, I would just glance over it and fill it with noise in my life. I would sit there on my phone and scroll and scroll and scroll because I didn't want to deal with the noise in my heart. I didn't want to deal with the anxiety in my heart. And that distraction continued to grow. And it only got harder for me to deal with it. And it became harder because I didn't recognize it and understand that it was slowing me down. And I needed to stop and take action and lay it aside. And lay it aside and put it at the feet of Jesus. And so I want to encourage you guys, if you're struggling with distraction, if your phone is a consistent distraction in your life, I want to give you some helpful tips to figure out how you can beat this distraction, not let it win, to lay it aside. So here are three things that I think will be helpful as you guard against distraction. Number one is commit to keeping your phone outside of your room at night. Commit to keeping your phone outside of your room at night. Just saying, hey, my phone's not gonna be the last thing that I look at night. It's not gonna be the first thing I look at in the morning. But instead of scrolling before I go to bed, what I'm gonna do is just pray. I'm gonna use that silence. I'm gonna be still before God and pray. I'm not gonna let the distraction come into my life. The next thing you can do is commit to not touching your phone every day until you have read your Bible. And read your Bible so you don't get tempted by the distraction of asking what's next, what's the next thing I can do. But you know, hey, the most important thing that you can do is spend time with Jesus. And so you're gonna touch your Bible, you're gonna go to your Bible before you go to your phone. It's an incredible commitment. Last one is commit to fasting from your phone for a certain amount of time. Just saying, hey, maybe it's once a day or a couple hours a day or a couple hours a week, and I'm just gonna avoid my phone. I'm gonna say, hey, I don't want my phone to have control over me. I'm gonna control it and put it aside and lay it aside because I wanna spend time with Jesus. So last thing we'll see in verse 3 as we close is the future of our focus. If you're taking notes, we'll see the future of our focus. It says in verse 3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. So that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. Man, I love that encouragement right there because here is the reality of that verse. We will not grow weary and faint-hearted. That means that when we focus on Jesus, that our future is peace and endurance. That our future is peace and endurance. But the opposite is also true. When we focus on our phone, man, our future can easily become comparison. When we focus on grades, our future can easily become our reputation or performance. When we focus on our sin, our future can easily become guilt and shame. When we focus on others or we focus on what we have to do next, our future can easily become distraction. But we focus on Jesus. He promises right here that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. That is the promise, and that is our future. It's amazing. So I'll close with this story as we finish our time. It's a story I read about a couple weeks ago. It's a woman by the name of Florence Chadwick. Incredible name, Florence Chadwick. And in 1952, this woman, Florence Chadwick, attempted to swim 26 miles from the coast of California to the Catalina Island. That's her right there, 26 miles. So in comparison, that's here all the way to Cowboy Stadium. That would take hours and hours of swimming. She wanted to be the first woman to do that. And so what does she do? She jumps in the water and she starts swimming. And she swims for hours and hours and hours. And she's 15 hours in of swimming. That's 15 hours. I can't even tread water for 5 minutes. And she's swimming for 15 hours straight. And she's almost done. And what happens is this heavy fog starts to set in. This heavy fog starts to set in and it disorients her and it distracts her and she immediately quits. She gets in the boat, she waves the white flag and she says, hey, I'm done, I'm done. And she gets in the boat and as she lifts her head, she realizes that she's only half a mile from the shore, that she quit at 15 hours. She only had a few hundred meters left and she quit because she was distracted by the fog. This is what she said to the reporter who asked her what happened. She said, look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen land, I could have made it. If I could have seen land, I could have made it. And today, I don't want that to be our story, where we let the distraction of our world, the distraction of our phone, or whatever it is, we let it fog out our ability to see God. We don't put Jesus at the center of our attention. That can easily happen. Here's the truth from this talk, that when we give Jesus our attention, we lose sight of our distraction. We give Jesus our attention. We lose sight of our distraction. And so today could be the first time where you guys say, hey, I'm going to go all in with Jesus. I'm gonna give him my attention. I'm not gonna give him my undistracted attention. I'm gonna give him my all attention because I know he's better. He's the better use of my time. And I'm gonna spend time with him knowing that God chose to focus on us. And he wants to spend time with you. Undistracted time with us. We just have to be still and know that he is God. And we go to him, we get direction for our life. We don't have to be lost in sin. We don't have to be lost in our anxiety, our fear. But we can get direction for our lives if we're not distracted. So let me pray that it'll be true of y'all's life. Well, Lord, we thank you that you're a God who wants to spend time with us, who loves us, who tells us to fix your eyes, to fix our eyes, not on the cares of this world, not on the distractions, but to fix our eyes on the only one who can change us, and that is Jesus. And so I pray, Lord, that Jesus would become the center of our attention, that Jesus would move to the front of our thoughts. We wouldn't let the worries and the cares of this world distract us from spending time with you. In your name we pray. Amen.